Hi, welcome back to AR Zone. I'm your host, Carolyn Bailey. These continuing interviews on anti-oppression, veganism and related issues are in association with VegFest UK. In today's interview, we're pleased to welcome Phoebe Frampton to AR Zone. Phoebe is a vegan activist and an artist who's been organising various activism events and campaigns within the vegan movement for 7 years. She and her sister together founded activism groups London Vegan Actions and then the Earthlings Experience, which became a new form of activism with events taking place in more than 100 cities across the world. She also performs spoken word and poetry to raise awareness about different injustices towards humans and other animals and encourage one love for all beings. Phoebe, thank you for joining us and welcome to AR Zone.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Phoebe, I mentioned in your intro that you and your sister founded the Earthlings Experience together. At the time, this was groundbreaking because it was very different to what we'd been comfortable with in terms of activism. Would you please tell our listeners how you came up with the idea and why you thought it would work so well?
Me and my sister, we had been involved in various different campaigns in the UK for animal rights, and I think we were kind of coming to a point where the other things weren't really working and we needed to find a way to, well, we needed a new form of activism that was more sustainable for us, and we wanted to approach it more from an educational point of view and really engage people more, because the protests that we were doing, they were working in a kind of tactical way to get businesses to stop exploiting animals, but then we wanted to reach the public, the wider audience, and get people more interested in veganism. So we just were sitting together one night, as we did a lot, talking about different things that we could try out, different forms of activism. And then we just had the idea of bringing laptops, because we had started taking them to our protests and we realized that people would engage a lot more when we were showing them videos, and it would draw more people in to watch them, and they would have more of a connection from these videos. It kind of stayed with them and helped them to make a stronger connection and empathize with the animals. Then we thought, why not do that and focus on veganism as a whole? So show Earthlings, which we had watched and we had connected with so much, and we thought, if only other people could see what we had seen, we think it would work. And so we gave it a try. One night, it was a Valentine's Day, actually. We wanted to spread love for all beings. So this was our way of doing it and kind of using that loving message to get this message out there. And we went onto the London Underground with our laptops, and we wore masks because we wanted people to watch the footage and focus on the videos rather than us, and kind of just draw in attention to what we were doing at the same time. And then we gave them little heart-shaped notes with more information to take with them as well.
I actually remember seeing footage of that all those years ago. And it
wow.
was yeah, and I remember thinking, like, it's just something that's just so very, very different. Do you find that if, like, before that, when you weren't using the screens, did you find that when you were speaking with people and explaining to them what other animals go through, and even in the ways in which they're slaughtered, that people would say, well, that doesn't happen here, we're a civilized country here, and that doesn't happen anymore, 2017 or whatever it was? Do you find that without the screens, people are able to come up with the typical excuses?
Yes, this is so true. Exactly what you said. People, when we were like protesting and mainly using megaphones and holding posters, people would say that it's not true and that those pictures had been edited somehow. And they would also say, like, yeah, it doesn't happen here because in the UK we have high welfare standards. And then when we had the videos to actually prove that wrong, and we were showing, look, it does happen here too, this is what's going on recently in this country, it becomes kind of undeniable at that point.
Yeah, I find the same thing in Australia. I think probably more so here because we're a smaller country, that they're the typical excuses that are used. One of the concerns that I've heard with this type of activism is that people who are in public spaces may have graphic and violent footage shown to them without their consent, including children. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you've heard those concerns as well.
Mm, yeah.
Do, Do you see this as a problem? And if so, what do you suggest advocates do to avoid this happening?
Well, in the beginning, when we first started it, we actually did come across people who really didn't want to watch the videos. And especially on the underground, it can be kind of hard to look away from that. So we actually started putting posters on top of our laptops saying, warning, this is graphic footage. And then we kind of said where it was from. I think it kind of helped people to have a kind of warning sign. And we still use those today, but not every different group uses those signs because it's become so widespread. And I think that can sometimes happen with, you know, all different kinds of activisms when it becomes like on such a large scale. You can't control what other people are doing with it, you know. Some people implement that and some people don't. When we are in kind of enclosed spaces and children come over to watch without an adult, we usually turn the footage away from them, actually. And I don't know, I've had conflicted feelings about this because I feel like as a child, I would want to know. And I did feel like so much was hidden from me. But at the same time, being exposed to that footage without having the kind of ability to change your diet, maybe, or change your lifestyle, not having the support from parents may be really difficult. So I really understand these concerns as well. I think the main thing is that we don't go up to people and show the videos. We should just stand where we are, wherever we are, and not force it on anyone. So people have the choice to walk away, you know?
I like that idea. I really like the idea of the warning signs as well. So I really appreciate that. Thanks, Phoebe.
Thank you.
So, hi, Phoebe. This is Roger here. I regularly support the Earthlink experience in Dublin in Ireland. Interestingly, they've just started to experiment with doing it without the masks. Obviously, yeah. In Ireland, masks are, an issue in a way, I suppose. But something that is kind of new to me is the suggestion that some Earthlink experience events show kind of happy footage as well as the graphic footage. And if that's so, what kind of difference do you think that makes? You know, do you think people react differently to the happy footage rather than the graphic footage? You know, does one work better than the other? Is a mix needed?
I think that's a great idea as well. Somebody else was saying this to us the other day in London. They were talking about mixing different kind of things into it as well, talking about the environment and talking about different types of things within the footage as well, and presenting more facts and happy animals from farm sanctuaries. So showing like the alternative and how, you know, we can treat animals in a more kind way. And some people do that, and I think it's worked really great. I can't personally say that I have tried that, so I don't know if I would be the best person to ask. But I've had friends who have done it and other groups I've heard of that it's gone down really well. So maybe that's something to think about. Yeah.
It's interesting, that one. I mean, I think I'll try and pass that on to the organisers of the Dublin one, because most people seem to play British footage, whereas some of us play Irish footage. And the footage from Ireland is actually made up from a film that I made myself. And most of it comes from TV shows which were shown before The Watershed. So these are shows which were going out at like 7:30 in the evening. So even if, as it were, if children were to watch those, it would be the kind of thing that they would have actually seen on national TV anyway. But certainly the idea of the mix of the graphic, the happy, and the, as it were, you know, sanctioned by the mainstream TV will be an interesting thing to try. I think we'll have to try that one.
Yeah, fantastic. I think you're really onto something there. And also, big well done for getting that footage out there as well.
Thanks very much.
Phoebe, at VegFest UK this weekend, you'll be part of a panel on Sunday discussing infighting. It's focusing on why we're fighting each other. The description notes that we all want animal liberation, so why aren't we all united? I guess a lot of people would have different ideas about what infighting actually is. For example, personally, I wouldn't work with racists or with misogynists just because they also happen to be vegans and say that they want animal liberation. I'll also speak out about vegans who abuse other vegans or who perpetuate ableism and other forms of oppression. So mm-hmm. I guess some people might consider that to be infighting, but there seems to be a difference between, well, to me, there seems to be a difference between recognising abusive and oppressive behaviour and speaking out about it and what I would consider actual infighting. I think we need to welcome, not reject, constructive criticism. Should we avoid, in inverted commas, infighting with those vegans who promote reducitarianism, who promote racism, ableism, etc.? Is there the suggestion that we should be working with racists and reducitarians and ableists? I'm not sure what the definition of infighting is.
Right. Personally, I'm not involved in the actual talk, but I'm going to be joining a panel at the end as a kind of person who's responding to any questions that people ask. So I don't know the whole contents of the talk as of yet. I'm going to talk with the other two who are going to be speaking about it. But yeah, I totally agree with you as well. And I think that there is a big difference between that and that we should welcome in people challenging things, you know. Anything that is oppressive should be challenged. And especially, I think it's damaging and really harmful when people have the view, well, you know, it's only for the animals kind of thing. When people
exactly.
say that, yeah, I don't agree with that. And I find that really harmful because it kind of stops the conversation. And that's not what we should be about. I think we should be aiming for total liberation, you know?
Absolutely. That's the word I like to use as well, total liberation. Thank you so much, Phoebe.
Yeah.
In your introduction today, I mentioned that you perform spoken word and poetry as well. Would you like to explain it to our listeners a little bit more about that and how you find it to be helpful in terms of advocacy?
Yeah, so the spoken word in poetry, it's not such a new thing to me. I used to do it a lot when I was younger, but I stopped doing it because I didn't see myself as an artist and I kind of rejected that side of me. And I found activism, vegan activism, and I thought that it was kind of only one way that I could be active. And I think that's what's shown to us a lot. You know, when we picture an activist, we picture someone, you know, shouting down a megaphone. And, you know, this sometimes works, but sometimes it's not for you. And there are so many ways to be an activist. And I think I kind of slowly started having that realization after going through so many different forms of activism and kind of came back to myself and realized, you know, veganism is not just, it's not my only identity, you know? An activist is not my only identity. I'm also an artist and I love using that to spread all these different messages and about all different kinds of injustices and bringing that all together as well. And it really does help. Like, I feel like what I want to see more from my audience when I'm doing a spoken word piece is empathy. That's what I want. I just want to create conversations and have more empathy and have more discussions where we all feel free to share and, yeah, just talk about these things openly, I guess.
I love that idea and I couldn't agree with you more that there are so many different forms of advocacy and I think every different form of advocacy can be just as effective and just as important as other forms if we put a lot of thought into what we're doing. Phoebe, thank you so much for spending time speaking with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you.
Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. All the best at VegFest. I hope everything goes really, really nicely for you. And thank you for everything you're doing. You're making a real difference to the world. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You too. Thank you for all you're doing as well. Like, this is another form of activism, isn't it? It's just getting that message out there. And yeah, it's beautiful to see. So well done to you as well.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No member of the animal kingdom nurses past maturity. No member of the animal kingdom ever did a thing to me. So I don't eat red meat.